Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 Gut Superhero Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. help.com/sober. I struggled with anger for most of my life, and conveniently, when I began drinking, a lot of my anger went away. But when I got sober, it came back stronger than ever. I would get overcome with such intense rage that I struggled to function. Learning to understand my anger, see all the things that were connected with it, and developing skills to work with it has completely changed my life. So in this episode, I'm explaining 5 ways that my life has improved since doing this work. So let's dig in. Happy kid who used to run up to other kids on the playground and ask if they wanted to be best friends. Then everything changed when I started to get bullied in 5th grade. And at the same time, I was old enough to start to pick up on my parents' strained marriage. I was able to see how my dad was treating my mom, and it made me not like him. So I had anger forming in me from the bullying at school, which lasted until I graduated high school, and then anger forming from being around my dad at home. I had no break from it, and the anger continued to build and build. I was constantly overwhelmed and triggered, and I had no skills to deal with any of it. I developed daily headaches, and after going to all the doctors, getting all the scans, and trying different medications, I just gave up on trying to fix it. After 10 years of daily headaches, when I moved out, they disappeared. Our emotions have to go somewhere, and high energy emotions like anger, they take a real serious toll on the body. My anger went away partly because I had moved out and I wasn't exposed to the anger-inducing trigger anymore, but also because I drank every day. I didn't feel like I was drinking to cope or numb, but that's a side effect of drinking all the time. When I got sober, all the anger came back, and it came back really strong. It took a lot of work to understand why I was so angry and how to develop skills to deal with it in healthy ways. The thing about anger management is it puts it back in your control. There are a lot of things that we do that make us angrier, like our perspective, our assumptions, how judgmental we are, how we speak to other people, and more. Anger management isn't about how to make other people stop acting like idiots. It's about realizing how much power you have over your anger. Anger is a powerless, out-of-control state. And that's a big reason that we get angry, especially if you struggle with anxiety too. You feel out of control, and if that feeling keeps going, then you get angry. So here are 5 ways that anger management changed my life. And maybe you don't need anger management because you don't experience much anger, but these are ways that just doing any work on yourself can change your life. So 1, I stopped feeling like I was rushing all the time. I had this constant feeling of rushing around that made it more likely for me to get my shirt caught in the door and flip out. We get this from drinking too, but this rushing feeling was a state that I existed in for most of my life. I was always on edge and expecting the worst. It's a sense of urgency when there's nothing urgent. Once I learned how to take my power back, I stopped feeling so rushed. Living this way makes you exist in survival mode, which dumps a bunch of cortisol in your body. The main difference that I've seen in my life is that I went from rushing around, always feeling urgent and out of control, to now I just feel very calm and stable, and I love feeling this way. I know a lot of people, they get sad, or they get uncomfortable and bored because they're not going to have those high highs anymore from drinking alcohol. But that also means that you don't have the extreme lows. And once all that fades away, you just have this nice, peaceful, stable life. And that's what I learned how to do once I started doing this work. And it's just made everything so good. I love my peace. I love my stability. And I really protect it. 2, I mostly stopped taking things personally. And I say mostly because this is still a work in progress, but at least I can redirect now on the occasions that I still do take things personally. I used to take things really personally, get super mad, and then I would drink at that person. I was very adversarial, and I had a nemesis at basically every job I've ever worked at. In sobriety, I did continue to have enemies for the first couple years until I started doing this work. And the first piece of this work was understanding that I was the common denominator. Now, I understand that people have things going on in their lives too. And when they treat me badly, they're probably treating a lot of other people badly too. And something I'll talk more about in a bit, I had really low self-esteem, so I had a lot of buttons and they were easy to push. So anyone who treated me poorly or that I interpreted that they thought something bad about me, that usually pushed one of these buttons and then I would get really, really angry. So something that I've noticed too in years of doing this work is that I have less buttons. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, then you probably know about my stupid belief. That is my biggest button, and that one still persists, but it's a lot better. The first time that button got pushed was back in episode 55. If you're curious about what that was like for me and how I navigated it, I was 18 months sober back then. So it was difficult for me to realize that I was the common denominator in all these enemies that I had everywhere I went. And I realized, like, I can't just be running into so many awful people everywhere I go. It has to be me and the way that I'm thinking about it. And even though that's an uncomfortable feeling, it was also really freeing because I haven't had a nemesis in a couple years, and it is such a good feeling. Now, when people do things that are hurtful or mean, it says more about them than it does about me. Number three, I learned how to set boundaries and how to enforce them. I got in this constant loop with some people where we would have the same destructive conversations over and over again. Or I would get frustrated and resentful when people would email me and ask me to do stuff out of working hours. How dare they? But then I realized that all of this stuff works both ways, and I have the power to stop participating in the loop. Boundaries are limits that tell people how they can treat you and what is okay and what is not okay. Without boundaries, other people get to dictate how you think, feel, and act. And you'll probably spend a lot of time doing things for other people instead of doing things for yourself. A lot of times, people with no boundaries are also stuffers. We quietly do everything for everyone else until one day we just blow up. People may request something from you, and since you don't object to it and never have before, they assume it's totally fine. But inside, you may be feeling highly offended and angry. But if you act like it's fine, how would they know it's not? This was the issue with me. I expected people to just know when they were hurting me. But if I show them that it's okay and I'll do it, then they're going to believe it's okay. So boundaries are one important component of my anger management program. And we talk a lot about assumptions and expectations of others. And one of the ways that this shows up is in being a mind reader and expecting other people to know that you're not happy about something. People won't know unless we communicate that with them. Number four, I learned many different techniques for calming myself down. Before, the only techniques that I had were stuffing my feelings, displacing them onto others, or drinking them away. And none of those were very effective. So it's no wonder that I was always overwhelmed. And then in sobriety, I also learned that I could eat a bunch of sugar at my feelings, and that's also not very helpful. Before, I always wrote off the simple coping skills. I thought that they were stupid and they wouldn't work for me. But it's actually the simple things that do work. Self-care and coping isn't about paying for expensive massages or taking all these retreats and doing a bunch of stuff. It's about the little everyday things that you do to take care of yourself. And those add up. Now, I still get angry, but I can redirect and I can bring my anger level down so it doesn't escalate and take over my whole day. Plus, when I do get angry or have something happen, I have confidence in myself that I can deal with it because I've shown myself many times over and over again that I can deal with things. And having that proof also prevents having cravings for alcohol because we know that we can get through things without needing to resort to something to make it go away instantly. Number five, my self-talk and destructive thinking patterns significantly improved. I had very low self-esteem for most of my life, like I said earlier, and it took a lot of work to improve this. And the first step was not drinking, by the way, if you're wondering. Just keeping that little promise to myself that I wasn't going to drink allowed me to build back my self-esteem and trust in myself. And then over time, I could tackle bigger and bigger things. I'm still working on my perspective and my destructive thinking because a lot of times I go to a really like all or nothing place. And it's the way that we think about things that then determines how we feel. Like something will happen, I assign meaning to it, and the meaning that I assign is what makes me mad. So if I can work on all or nothing thinking, shaming myself, shooting myself, overgeneralizing, catastrophizing, all of these things, then I won't get so heated up because I'm not assigning meaning that heats me up. So overall, my message here is that there's a lot of work to be done in sobriety, but it is really good work. And imagine where you're going to be at a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, even more. You're going to look back and be so proud of how far you've come. And I feel like even if you do a little reflection now, regardless of how much sober time you have or whether you're still trying to get there, I think you can see some growth compared to your younger self. And if you can't, well, then that means you have a lot of quick wins in your future because you're just getting started. So if this stuff resonated with you and you're interested in learning these skills and working on your destructive thinking, learning how to set boundaries, learning how to communicate effectively with others and manage your emotions, then I would love for you to join me in anger management. You can get more info at soberpowered.com/anger, but registration is opening to the waitlist on Sunday, March 17th, and then to the general public on Wednesday, March 20th. So I really hope to see you there. It was a fun class. I loved teaching it. And keep working on yourself. Be honest, self-reflect, and you will get to exactly where you want to be. And I will talk to you in the next one.
Addiction impacts all of us. Addiction's consequences run through all of us. From ourselves to our loved ones and through our communities, addiction creates so much loss and grief. My name is Dwayne Osterlin, and I'm the host of the Addicted Mind podcast, a show featuring personal stories, expert guests, and vital information about addiction and addiction recovery. We'll talk with leading treatment providers to discuss the latest research and treatment options for this devastating disease and advocate for mental health awareness. We discuss topics like the importance of creating a community of support to helping loved ones to some of the latest research on psychedelic medicines. The Addicted Mind podcast has been about creating hope, listening to stories of many amazing people that have overcome addiction and are thriving. If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, subscribe to the Addicted Mind podcast wherever you get your podcasts or check out theaddictedmind.com. New episodes every Monday. See you there.